people and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, we got everybody here. So welcome to the party, pal. It's going to be the whole crew.
Yes.
I'm not coughing, so that's good. Aaron is got a little chill going on. He's chilling up in Tahoe because it's always cold up there.
And the Bears are back.
The Bears are back. Yeah.
She brought two little cubs that are smaller than Pesto. It was so
no cute. Bears.
No Bears, yeah.
And Matt, well, yeah. He's just sitting down there drinking a Bravago and, he's held up this thing like five times. We've only been on for 30 seconds, and he keeps holding up this award that he got.
The award-winning, I'm drinking award-winning Bravago. So
yes.
Expect price increases.
So what
very
was
soon.
It? Fill the listeners in on your award.
It's a group called Seltzer Nation, and they review all of the RTD cocktails, the canned cocktails, mostly on the hard seltzer side, but they do like the vodka seltzers and everything else. So they do a big annual review of hundreds and hundreds of flavors and different brands. We have the three flavors. We won silver awards for the Rainier Cherry and the Strawberry Lemon. And then our Vanilla Orange Cream won a gold award, and it won Best Vanilla Seltzer overall. So that one is kind of a class killer.
Well, congrats, man. We've always said they – see, it shows we're not just saying it because it's Matt's. I mean, we're saying it, you know.
It's not bad. It's pretty good stuff. Go ahead and order some.
Yeah. So, there's been a lot going on in the car world. It seems like – the world's melting down in one way. There's all these financial things going on. As we talked about on the last show, AI is going to eat our lunch. And the latest one, I don't know if you guys heard, and this is just a carry on from the last show, but I heard this on the news yesterday. There's some AI researcher. He's really high up, and I do not have the details, so I'm kind of off the cuff here. But they have put all these parameters on the AI that they can't do this and they can't do that. Well, the latest is that there was an AI computer system that they had put all the parameters in, and they're like, yeah, he can't do this, can't do that, until they got an invoice from a guy, and they're like, what's this invoice for? And it was for programming, and they did some research and found out that AI said, well, I'm not allowed to do this, so how can I solve this problem? So it went to Fiverr and hired a programmer. And they got a hold of the programmer, and the programmer said, I even said in my email back and forth, you sound like a bot. Are you a bot? And it went, no. So it learned how to lie, and it learned how to get around its protocol and get this programming done. So who's to say it couldn't figure out how to get around the protocol of I'm not allowed to kill my makers, or I'm not allowed to, send the nukes over or turn all the cars off? But it was like, and the guy was like, yeah, this has us quite concerned. We are looking into it. I'm like, yeah, what else did he do that nobody else knows?
Well, listen, this is how I do most of my podcasts now. I just use AI. I'm not even really here.
I know. We're wondering why it's just like a flat Aaron there. It doesn't move.
Well, I was wondering, because one of Matt's eyes keeps drifting around and changing color.
Bravago.
Last episode when you weren't here, exactly.
It's just going to keep saying that.
Here, we discussed having an AI lay out a show for us.
Yeah.
Do it.
That would be kind of funny. See what it came up with. Except we all got to look like Max Headroom, if you guys remember that. You guys, I don't know if anybody else remembers that.
Of course. Yeah.
But anyways, that was just a carry on. And it was just like, man, this is happening so fast. Yeah. The stuff they said, oh, that'll never happen. There's protocols. Yeah. They learned how to get around the protocols.
If I was James Cameron, I would just be walking around, be like, "I told you so. I told you so.
Yeah.
I told you so. I told you so." Like it's Skynet.
Just wear a shirt. Just wear a shirt.
Says, I told you so. Yeah.
James Cameron. Quote.
Excuse me. So Matt, you took a road trip, went to Motor City, and they had the new autonomous AI Ford Raptor there. Why does it have Gatling guns on it?
Well, first of all, it has the guns because it's awesome, but only some of that is true. Yeah, did a quick trip to Detroit, met up with Ford, went out there for a 90-minute presentation, and then went right back to the airport and flew home.
Awesome.
And
that way they don't have to pay for meals and a hotel room, okay?
They did pay for those things along the way, but it was kind of a quick deal. But listen, cool. I mean, Ranger, the Ford Ranger and the Ranger Raptor have been not available in the U.S., but they've been global platforms for quite some time now.
Before you go farther into the details, can I ask you something? Did they mention why? Is that because around the world, the smaller trucks are better sellers because of their size?
They did explain it. They said out here, the big trucks, F-150s, big Rams, really started to take off. And in so many other countries, even the roads aren't large enough for the big
trucks. No, they're not.
And having the mid-sized truck just became the go-to. So it allowed Ford and some of the other companies to continue to invest in that platform. And then things turned. What happened was it's really coming down to finances. All of the big trucks are creeping up and becoming so expensive, like all cars are.
No shit.
That's why Ford released the Maverick. They said, let's just go small. Let's offer a hybrid engine. Great for workers around town. If you're a plumber, pool guy, you know, like whatever, you know, lawn care, it's small, it's easy to park, it's efficient. And that ended up being a huge hit. So they started looking at, could they bring the mid-size truck back? Now, that being said, there are some revisions being made for the US market. So this is an all-new platform for 2024. We obviously get things differently than other countries, like lights and stuff like that. There's different laws. But the Raptor now overall is a little wider, a little longer. The wheelbase is longer. Aaron, you'll be interested in that the front wheels are pushed forward more so you get a better approach angle.
Right?
Right? Because now they're putting the way off-roading and overlanding has just exploded in the last few years. The Ranger itself is very capable with all of that functionality, even before you get to the Ranger Raptor. So it's wider, it's longer. The bed of the truck fits 4 foot wide pieces of wood or drywall or whatever. They were able to get a smoother ride and more clearance by moving the shocks outward. So they did quite a bit of cool things there.
Smart.
The interior is roomier. And one of the ways they did that is the door panels are thinner overall. They don't protrude out and get you in the shoulder or your elbow as much. So they made the interior bigger on an existing platform or basically on this new platform, but existing like midsize.
Because Americans are bigger.
Yeah, literally it is. And you just want more room and you carry more gear. And if you're outfitting your truck, you just want all of those capabilities.
And that it's big bag from the McDonald's drive-through has to fit there, you know?
It really kind of is. One of the things we brought up several times was the big touchscreen that's coming in all of the cars. And they have that a lot of them have sort of this big like iPad on top of the dash kind of feel to it. And we kept saying, like a lot of people going, why isn't this more integrated into the dash? Why does it have to feel so tacked on? Well, I guess a lot of people spoke out and because Ford literally just said, we have big screens integrated in the dash because we literally heard from customers we just wanted integrated in the dash, and you don't want it up on the top of the dash. And now that you think about it, for those of you that do off-roading, if you had that big kind of popping up off the dash kind of thing, limited visibility when you're trying to look at that passenger front corner.
When so you start to get a little sideways and you reach for something to grab and it was that screen and it snapped off, wouldn't be a good deal.
Yeah, right? And then, of course, the big news is Ranger Raptor. Ranger Raptor looks fantastic. It's going to have the 3-liter EcoBoost engine. It's 405 horsepower, 430 pound-feet of torque. It's got their new advanced four-wheel drive system. It's got a electronically controlled two-speed transfer case, front and rear locking differentials, improved off-road traction overall. What I found was really kind of cool and interesting, it has a Watts link in the rear.
Oh, really?
Those familiar with the live axle and a Panhard bar or a four link or whatever, the Watts link is fantastic in the racing community, but they found it to really work well off road, but also significantly improve its on road handling and drivability. So, and they did some videos and some of the B roll that other, you know, I think I put up and some other people put up, and they show the front suspension going, and then they show that rear suspension off road, like really, really active. And that Watts link is nailing it. So
yeah, that's kind of gives a lot more latitude. It can reach, it can move, it can.
Yeah, it does, but it still keeps that center, get that axle centered in the rear. So, it's cool. Yeah. It's a really cool piece.
What kind of price on that Ranger Raptor?
So, $56,000 is the starting price. There's not going to be many options for it, but so you know, probably expect around $60,000. It's got the latest generation, the next gen Fox 2.5-inch live valve internal bypass shocks on all the coilovers, and they piggyback reservoirs at the rear that helps reduce the heat buildup, so you can really just kind of go on a full blast with this thing pretty much all day. They reinforced a lot of the things like the front frame rails, the front shock towers, rear shock brackets, suspension mounting points. All of that stuff is really kind of beefed up. And the drive modes, we've got normal, we got the tow haul mode, sport, slippery, off-road, rock crawl, and Baja. Wow. And Baja is kind of their track version.
That's a lot of suspension.
It's a lot of different modes. And yeah. So, but the modes obviously change calibrations across the board, you know, in its drivability and the engine tuning, the exhaust note, it has valves in the exhaust. So they fired up the truck, they put it in Baja mode. They revved it up for us. We got a chance to check it out.
Wow. That's cool.
So does it have downtown LA mode?
It does. It's called slippery. It's more of an attitude than an actual traction thing. 33-inch tires, and then it has all of the cool bits for, like, if you're not necessarily doing off-roading. It's got the 360-degree camera. It's got the front-view camera assist. If you are off-roading, you can put that camera on. It's got full zone lighting, so it can light up all the way around the vehicle. So if you're setting up a campsite or if you're off-roading and it's dark. It's got the Pro Trailer Backup Assist, you know, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto. It's got new Sync 4, which is wireless Sync 4. Anyway, it's just all around everything you would kind of expect. And it kind of fits now in this nice little lineup of Bronco Raptor, Ranger Raptor, F-150 Raptor, and then F-150 Raptor R.
Wow. Right? It's a good looking truck. It is. It's like a mini. It's like a mini Raptor.
Yeah, listen, guys that are off-roading the Broncos are saying, you know, the on-road capability is maybe a little more comfortable than the Jeep, but the Jeep is probably still a little bit more dominant off-road. But then on both of the vehicles, you do consider things like, do you want a pickup truck or do you want sort of the Bronco Jeep configuration or what you have like Gladiator?
Yeah.
Do you want soft top? Do you want hard top? Is the hard top, you know, all plastic and, you know, or do you want more of a conventional pickup truck? And this kind of fits the bill. I think it's kind of a cool piece, and it
yeah, it kind does
of right
look
in the
good.
Middle of the lineup.
Yeah, it looks really good. Now, is this the Eco? Oh yeah, so it's the Eco Boost 4 and 5 horsepower. What's the price range on these? You think
56.
Oh, 56. Yeah. Okay, I missed that.
Now,
and twin turbos, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now the Ford Ranger, also very cool. A lot of the same features, and they're going to have the various versions. There's an XL, an XLT, and a Lariat version. It has different off-road options as well, and has the same pro camera, the camera 360 degree camera, the pro trailer backup assist, a lot of cool features, and you can kind of scale up and down with pricing on that as well. That's available with either the 2.3 liter EcoBoost or the 2.7 liter EcoBoost. However, no manual transmission at this time. The Ranger, the Ranger has sold more than 1 million pickup trucks around the world.
Wow.
In 2022. And part of that success, I'm sorry, Ford has sold 1 million pickup trucks around the world. And a lot of that does come from the Ranger. The Ranger sales have increased 112% globally over the past year. And the first few months of this year alone, they sold 86,000 Rangers around the world, not including the U.S. because we don't have it here until this new announcement. Oh, and as far as towing, by the way, the Ranger tows 7,500 pounds and has an 1,805 pound payload capacity.
That's consistent to Gladiators on very similar numbers. Oh, cool. Wow.
I'm interested
nice truck.
To see what the sales figures are on the Raptor as a whole, because I see quite a few of them down here in Orange County, but I wonder if it's the same way. But like when I went to Omaha, I saw, you know, quite a number of Raptors running around, you know, so it makes me wonder, you know, what their sales figures are on those, because they seem to be pretty successful, you know?
Yeah. That's a good question. And they've been around for a few years, so we're seeing variations of it, right?
Yes. When did the Raptor come out? 16?
It could be. I want to say the Raptor, here's a statistic, said they sold 30,000 of them in 2020.
Okay, so then that's pretty successful, because it's a premium truck and they sold 30,000. So
yeah. A statistic from 2014, so not the latest edition. So the first 4.5 years of Raptor sold somewhere between 70,000 and 80,000 trucks. So I wonder if that's accurate. I'd like to see the statistics from Ford, but you're talking about a truck that starts at about $80,000 and goes up to over 100,000 when you get into Raptor R. So
yeah, and that's what I mean. It's a definitely a premium vehicle.
Yeah, so. But when they started, I don't know, 2010, there was I think 7,000 Raptors sold, and by 2012, the number jumped to 13,000, you know, so they're moving quite a few. I don't remember them ever necessarily being like limited production vehicles. It wasn't like,
I don't think so. It was sell as many as they could, I'm sure.
Yeah, sell as many as you can. Yeah. I'm sure over the past couple of years, the numbers got wonky because, you know, factories are shut down. Nobody's buying anything. Pandemic hits. Supply chain issues, you know.
What's this pandemic you speak of?
What? Yeah. Supply chain issues.
Yeah.
I'm looking at, I just pulled up as we were talking, you know, used vehicles, 2020 Ford Raptor. They're holding their value. I mean, here's one with 77,000 miles and it's 62.7, 41,000 miles, 68.8.
Yeah, because everybody got charged a $30,000 markup. So now
next thing I was going to say.
You know, so and it seems like they're holding their value, but not if they're $30,000 over a sticker.
Yeah. But crazy. Here, right next to what we were just talking about, 2023 Ford F-150 Raptor, $188,445 at Chino Hills Ford. Yeah, right.
Well, it sounds to me like you shouldn't go to Chino Hills Ford.
But why would anybody pay that? I just don't understand it. You know, I mean, it's.
Just for fun, I took my Ford Lightning.
Uh huh.
And And yes, admittedly, I got on the list very early on with Ford before they allowed markups. So I did not pay a markup on my truck. And, you know, it's, I don't know, roughly $100,000 out the door on that truck, which is a hell of a lot of money for anything, let alone a pickup truck.
It was how much? I'm sorry. I was still Googling this. Not even a Ford Raptor R for 188. Yes.
Yeah. So 100 grand, about 100 okay. grand, a little under.
Yep.
Crazy.
So just for fun, I went out and put it out to like CarMax and a bunch of companies and, you know, two, whatever, like three companies and said, here's my truck. It's got, I don't know, 3,800 miles on it. It's basically new. It's a platinum edition, every single option, perfect in every way. What would you give me for it? And I'm getting numbers like 56,000, 59,000. You know, maybe 60,000. They're offering 40,000 under sticker for a car with less than 4,000 miles on it. They're saying you're losing 40% of your value. And then my point is what if I fucking paid a markup on it too? Like, what if I paid 10 or 15 grand over a sticker? Are you nuts? This is my point about paying markups is you're going to lose your ass on it. And it's weird that a dealer goes, hey man, the new Dodge Demon 170 or whatever it's called is like, we want 200 grand for it because demons are selling a pair of Jackson for 200 grand. I go, I know, but that they've earned the value. They've gone up. Like, why are you the dealer charging for future value?
Yeah.
Well, wrong. When you trade a vehicle in, you should just go, okay, so you'll offer me 45,000. Now with my trade-in premium of 30, we're at...
yeah, I'm going to tell them the market adjustment is 30.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, you charged me a market adjustment when I bought it, so I'm going to charge you the market adjustment when, you know, they go, oh, it's a $100,000 truck, I'll give you 60. I go, I know, but also the $30,000 markup you charge everybody else, so give me 90.
Well, no, we can't do that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they want their free money.
That's right. But Chino Hills will sell you one. They've got one advertised for a 2023 Lightning for $101,704.
I don't think you can outfit it for that much. I don't think the sticker price is that. They're definitely charging something on it.
Well, sure.
I know the truck can get close to 100 grand, but I think it's like 96 or 7. You know, obviously before taxes and whatever, but yeah, it sounds like they're asking, I don't know, 5 or 10,000 over sticker on that.
Yeah.
And I don't know what trim model it is. So
we know
wrong.
This show does not like dealer markups, but we're talking about these new ones. Now, sticking in the off-road vein, there is a vehicle that was introduced. You guys talked about it briefly, but it was introduced and it quickly sold out of its limited production of 1500. So they're all gone. We're talking about a car you can't even buy, but it is way faster than a Raptor, even faster than a Raptor R, because it has 601 horsepower. It has a V10 and it's lifted. It has all the lights, you know, surrounding it, just like you mentioned. This thing has a wide body flares so that it can have 285 off-road tires. It's got a full skid plate, the entire underside. And it's got snorkel scoops on the top, so trying to keep it. And a roof rack for your luggage and tent and all that stuff that you're going to need. And you guys know which one I'm talking about?
No, here it comes. Here
it's
comes.
The Lamborghini Huracan Dorado, if I'm saying that right.
Oh, my God.
And
that's just silly. But cool. I mean, Morgan,
cool, actually.
Morgan's doing it, too. Morgan has an off-road Morgan. I mean, everybody's doing it. I mean, hurrah.
It looks cool, though. I mean,
what does Morgan call it? Like, do they have, like, a Baja car? I mean, I guess
forget.
They do. But they just put like knobby tires on.
No, there's actually a lot of work on that little car. It's pretty cool, actually, if you like Morgans. If you don't like Morgans, it's horrible.
Well, the other one's that new Tesla Baja edition that's coming out.
Well, I'll tell you. I mean, this has gone as far.
No, it's got a long extension cord.
Yeah, right. This, I mean, we've seen this in every vehicle manufacturer, and now, what is it? The Can-Am Ryker. Are you familiar with that three wheeled Can-Am?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
A snowmobile with wheels.
Yeah.
The Can-Am Ryker has gone off road, and they have an off road version of that vehicle.
If you think about it, it doesn't even
do that well on road.
I think one of the first to, like, obviously not the first to do the Baja stuff, but like in the modern past few years, Ariel Atom came out with their really cool looking kind of off-road version of it. And that's the one when you start to look at it and go, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Or the regular Ariel Atom. And then, yeah, like, you know, when a Morgan follows or a Can-Am follows, it's, you know, because people don't want to spend Ariel Atom money, but.
No, cool. But now, I don't know if you guys watch any of the YouTube shows, but I've been watching B is for Build for a long time and years now. And they have something that they built called the Jumpicon, and it's an off road Lamborghini Huracan. Now, of course, it's got an LS motor and it's all tube framed, and they've done all this stuff to it. But I wonder if Lamborghini took some points off of. off of their build.
Well, yeah, it's a lot easier to let somebody else spend the money and do the research, you know?
Oh, they didn't spend any money.
But let's face it, we go way, way back, though, and the father of this stuff was James Garner with his off-road Oldsmobiles. Have you guys ever looked at those? No. Olds Cutlass that he raced off-road?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, for those of you who don't know who James Garner is, if you remember the show Rockford Files, or if you'd seen it in reruns or anything, he had these Olds Cutlasses that were, I think it was a 72 Olds, and he raced it. And basically, radius the wheel housings, put big off-road tires on, had some guys fabricate suspension, went out and had fun with it. It was pretty successful, actually. And who was it built the Mustang that?
I was trying to think, and I was trying to remember the movie too. It was a great movie, and then Richard Rawlings ended up with that car or something.
Did he,
similar.
Or did he just copy it? I didn't.
I think it's a similar car. Yeah. I don't think it's the car, but
it was very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, but, I forget that movie. It used to be my wife and I's favorite movie when we met. I should probably remember it pretty soon.
I was just going to say, boy.
before I hear my name called.
Oh, yeah. This Urus has huge tires under it. But you know what? It looks like the old Lamborghinis that we love.
The LM2, yeah. I know.
It's the cool. LMs. Got
it. So I wonder, with all these sports car manufacturers making these, if there's going to be a series out there, you know, like a pre-run or something, you know.
So, through the streets of Rodeo Drive and through the parking garage at the Beverly Center is the off-road challenge.
Tanner Faust is racing in the Extreme E program, and that's
electric. That's really cool.
Sponsored by McLaren. He's racing for McLaren.
Yeah, I remember reading that.
So we talked to him about it, and it kind of looks like these things, like this, this Urus that you're talking about, and the Lamborghini and stuff, which is it's cool. It's kind of interesting. Yeah, he's been racing in that.
They should do that, dude. We should talk to Bruce Meyer, and, you know, in conjunction with their car show they do on Rodeo, they should move it over to Beverly Drive and then do a race where it goes, you have to have one of these off-road production cars, a Porsche, a Lamborghini, and then you can go down Rodeo Drive, but you go, like, back and forth over the median. And
or you got to jump the tar pits.
Yeah. There you go. And we could design the whole course, you know, the parking garage at the Peterson.
I think when you were out, Brad, Aaron and I were talking about the rumors from Ford about doing a Mustang version of like a Baja, like off-roader, right?
The Mustang E, right?
And it was going to be a Mustang Raptor. Like a Raptor version of it, you know, and that could be kind of interesting, you know. I wonder, I mean, I don't know. enough about the platform to see if they can make it happen, but something with the new platform, I wonder if they could. Also, the cool thing about that though is if they did it, is of all these, you know, these Raptors, other than the Raptor R, potentially a V8 engine. If you get it with the 5-liter Coyote engine, that'd actually be pretty cool.
V8's always good.
You know, we're talking about all these expensive cars, but you know, aside from like you know, bring a trailer and those type of places and all the auctions that we've gone to, you guys ever look online and just look for salvage cars or you know, theft recoveries and stuff like that? Every once in a while I'll do it just for fun. I haven't ever bought one, but because realistically, if you're going to buy one, you really should go look at it. And, you know, but
listen, our guy in the shop, Sean, I think he's always picking up like the square body trucks and all the old Chevy trucks. And he did that the other day. He's like, bought this truck. They said it was broken, doesn't work. He bought it for $1,000. It says doesn't stop, doesn't run. And he brought it home and he fussed around with the carburetor, made sure there was spark, and he replaced a master cylinder, fired right up, and it stops and runs. And he goes, $1,000. He goes, he put like $35 in the truck and used it.
Speaking of which, my buddy did buy that Shelby pickup truck.
Really?
The one that I sent you.
Yeah.
That's the horrible pickup truck.
Yeah, that's the new truck. It's actually cool. I don't like the hood, but everything on that truck is kind of cool.
The picture I sent you with like the branding on the inside that just said Shelby
everywhere. Yeah, there's 50 places that says Shelby. They're really popular.
And it cleaned up. It cleaned up decently. It was all there. It was just, you know, just sitting in some guy's yard.
When I toured the Shelby factory in Vegas, it was all F-150s in there. They're like, oh, we move like 2 or 3 to 1 F-150s versus Mustangs.
I see a bunch of those Roush F-150s running around.
Yeah.
You know, those two. But back to the junkyard cars. I ran across a place called Salvage Reseller. They're part of Copart, which I won't get into because of my boat. I think Copart's going to keep my boat till it turns to dust. And and they wouldn't let me put the cover on it. They wouldn't. So it's been in all this rain, all this sun, all this crap. I can't imagine how destroyed it is now. But anyways, it's all across the board. Like some of the notable cars just on the first page there today that were going up for auction and they were in their last hour. The one that Matt would have loved was a black 88 Ford Mustang SVO. And now Matt, how many did they build? Like 600? There weren't many.
No, there was a few. Yeah. I don't remember the exact number. There was a few thousand, I believe.
Was it that many? I always liked the looks of those. It had a nice front end, the little double spoiler on the back.
Yeah. It's a cool car.
Yeah.
And yeah, about less than 2,000 over the course of like 84 through 86. So I think it was just under 10,000.
Are these salvaged cars, Brad, or are they clean title cars?
You know what? There's not a lot of description, if you notice. If they're a salvaged title. So I'm guessing they're not.
This one is salvaged title.
Is it? Okay. And now, it looks like that one in just a quick, it's missing a front fender, but if you go to the last photo, it's there.
Oh, there it is.
And it looks like one of those where the door got hyperextended and they, you know, so you know that the door skin looks good, but those hinges are no good and you're going to have to replace the front fender for sure. But
yeah,
what do those things go for? More than $100, I imagine.
Yeah, they go for a little more than $100.
Yeah. So, you know, that'd be for a Mustang guy, $100.
Well,
you can't go wrong on that. There's more than $100 worth of parts there.
Buy it now for under $2,000.
This is one of the cars, like one of the kind of like underrated wacky Mustangs that Adam Carolla likes. He's like, what's up with the SVO, the little turbo 4-cylinder? And he goes, I know it underperformed. He goes, But if you were going to do something kind of like inexpensive but fun, like SEMA build, like jump off with the SVO Mustang, right? Maybe modern day EcoBoost engine, but the same kind of hood with the scoop and everything on it, and maybe kind of hot rod it out and see if you can turn it into, you know, something kind of fun somewhere in the, you know, turbo four cylinder 350 horsepower range. Could be badass. So the way to do it is you go here and you buy this piece of shit for $400.
Yeah.
$100. I mean, no doubt. $100. And at the same time, right above it is a square body 77 GMC. Now it's a long bed, but guys are paying top dollar for these square body trucks. Here's one for $100. Buy it now, it's $3,500. But if you jumped in the last hour like this and it's $100, I mean,
as long as there's no reserve, I guess if there's no reserve on it,
some of these buy it now prices aren't bad.
No, they're not. They're not bad.
Like, really not bad.
Here's a, you know, now, you know, at the same thing, you know, 77 Mercedes-Benz 450 SL with 74,000 miles, you know, the buy it now is 24,000. And that's right. Probably about the right money on, you know, we don't know anything about this car. You know, I mean, it's interesting. And, you know, 72 Honda 600. I mean, who wouldn't want one of those, right? try and find parts for that car. And
oh, it's easy. It's just rubber bands and paper clips.
Yeah. It's interesting though. The buy it now on that one is $5,900 and it's bid up to $1,500. So, you know, it's interesting, but you know, this is kind of fun part because there's everything on here from a 63 Cadillac DeVille, which is, by the way, it's a California title. So it might be virtually rust free if it's always been there. $250. And, you know, Carmen Ghia's, Mercedes, another 67, early C10. Well, it's a C20 truck actually. But now see that one's 14,800 cause it looks pretty nice. And it lists a damage normal wear. So
yeah, I like the one that looks like it has a barn roof on top.
Yes.
And it says damage everywhere, all around.
Everywhere.
And it actually doesn't look like it's damaged all around. It just has this wing on the top, this parachute that, you know, over 5 miles per hour might lift the whole thing off the ground.
Oh, exactly. But then if you go from the extreme that, you know, we're looking at $100, $200 cars that we could play with to the guy in Australia. Did you guys hear about this dude who had a McLaren Senna and decided to try and outdo everybody by taking it to the top of his penthouse apartment?
Crazy.
See this?
Crazy.
I did see it. Yeah.
I mean, so he had all the glass removed out of the penthouse, which probably cost a fortune in itself because it was all that seamless glass. They did a rig that cradled it, with cables, and then a helicopter lifted it up there. There's a video online. And
yeah, they use a crane. There's a crane built on the side of the building. Yeah. So you remember the Paul Newman.
Dude, it sounded better as a helicopter. Why'd you have to?
It would have been cool. When we did the big red carpet premiere for the Paul Newman film, we had a crane, one of the race cars over the Roosevelt Hotel to drop it into the courtyard area to bring it in.
I remember that. Yeah.
That costs like 10 grand just to do that. And we didn't need the permits because the crane was in the parking lot of the hotel. This guy looks like he's closing down a road and building a crane on the side of the building. Pretty nuts.
This guy is, just trying to, I think they used the term in there. He wanted to show how heavy he could flex.
Yes. It's a McLaren Senna GTR, which is already rare and expensive. And you got to get it up to the 57th floor. We didn't have to do that at the hotel. We didn't have to go nearly that high. So
that's a big ass crane to get it up to the 57th floor, man.
The penthouse that the guy has is $39 million.
Well, no. Now it's $41 million because he's got a GTR Senna in there that he'll probably never take out. So maybe he has a plan. The day I'm going to die, I'm just going to fire that thing up and go right out the window. You know? It's... You know, it'd be...
Oh, actually, if you read the details, this is kind of interesting. First of all, the penthouse is huge. It's 13,000 square feet. But it's a brand new building. So this guy moved the car in there before the building was done. So the building, the penthouse itself is just a concrete slab on that floor. So they're going to build the rest of the condo around the car.
Nothing's never coming out.
Well, so the advantage here is he didn't have to go to the neighbors and the HOA and everybody else and get sign off on this thing, right? He just went to the building, to the builder and go, hey, I'm buying it. But part of my deal is I'm going to move a car up in there and you have to build around it. So, that was probably a better way to do it. Yeah.
Hey, I saw a Hennessy truck when I was in LA. I forgot to tell you guys about that thing was pretty trick. A Ford, right? It was a Hennessy Ford.
Well, he make them all. So
yeah, he does a Raptor and he does a TRX.
Yeah, no, I think it was a Ford truck, but it was nice, man. It pulled into the right lane to go around me because traffic was starting to build up, and it just the front end lifted a little bit. It was actually pretty planted, and it just launched, man. It just took off. And I saw an Ineos Grenadier when I went to Linkswell in Riverside. I sent you guys a photo. Ugliest color in the world. It was like that. It was like that metallic maroony kind of red. Yeah, I mean, it was just hideous. But I talked to the gentleman driving it briefly because he was brief. He was getting gas and going inside, clearly on a massive road trip because the thing was just worked. And I guess he's a test driver for Ineos, and he was driving it back and forth across the country, doing all the miles. So I thought, what a fun job. Yeah. But yeah, it was exciting to see those two things.
Yeah. You know what? That's not such a fun job. I had a buddy who was a test driver, and he said, it's fun when you're out driving, but he told me stories about how when it was 120 degrees in Phoenix, they would make him drive the car in. They had out at the proving grounds,
right,
a 10-foot tall block wall that was on three sides, and he pulled in till the bumper was touching the block wall, and he had to hold the motor at 3,000 RPM for 2 hours with no AC on.
Oh, yeah.
Then do it with the AC on. Then do it, and he goes, just so the computers could, get all the info. And he goes, that's when you're just sitting out there going, because he goes, you don't even have anything to look at. You're looking at a block wall, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he had other stories.
Not like you put your iPad on the hood and watch a movie. Yeah, that's true. Plus, people like me, of course, have a million questions.
Can't stop. Ooh, look at that.
No. Yeah, exactly. So he was very brief, but he was polite, and I respected that. Didn't pod him for more questions. I just asked if I could take some pictures or video it, and he's like, yeah, sure. So, but that was
all right, guys. Hey, I think we're going to wrap it up and get ready for next week. That's what we do, everybody. When we go off the air today, we spend the whole next week preparing for next week's show. So
we use AI. We use AI now. So
we'll try that. Let's see if we can do an AI episode. That'd be awesome. We just read the script. So, all right, everybody. Matt, where can they find us if they want to?
Check us out at shiftandsteer.com, and ShipSteer Media is on social media. And now you can buy award-winning Bravago hard seltzer.
Ooh, that's a big deal, Matt. That's a big deal.
Price went up. I can hear it now.
Yeah.
Aaron, where can they find you?
Oh, I'll be on my way to Arizona on Monday. And then, Aaron, just everywhere under my name, Aaron Hagar. I'll be posting the Bears shortly. And I've been in wiring hell for the last 4 days, rewiring all the stereo system for the kicker install on the Jeep. So, yeah, some stuff going on.
Well, what are you going to Arizona for? Do you want to mention that?
Oh, just because it's supposed to rain there. And I thought, you know what? That'd be fun to go visit Arizona in the rain. Flagstaff, Sedona. No, it's the Overland Expo. It's the Overland Expo on the
And of course, you can find me at Bradley_Fanshaw on Instagram or check out Win Brad Stuff on Instagram and, you know, buy some cool stuff. So anyways, we will be back next week. That's a promise, not a threat. And and everybody, thanks for listening to Shift and Steer. See you guys.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.